If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 15, the title of our message is Whatever You Want. Matthew chapter 15. We're going to read just one verse, but I'll give you, and I'm sure many of you have read this over and over, I'll give you the context of this one verse we're going to read. There was a woman that was a Canaanite, and she had a daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. And she had problems. She had domestic problems. She had problems at home. We can all have all kinds of problems. But when you got a problem at home, it kind of rises to the top of the heap of problems, you know. You can have problems at work. You can have problems at school. You can have social problems. You can have all of these different types of issues that come up in your life. But this lady had a problem at home, and it was her daughter. And she approaches Christ and has a discussion. And we come to the 28th verse of Matthew 15. And it says, Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And that is where we receive the title, Whatever You Want. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. What if? We would be neglecting our responsibilities, our duties to ourselves, our family, our church, if we didn't ask this question. What if, when we get to heaven, God says to us, I could have given you so much more. What if He says, I could have given you so much more? Well, you say, what is that principled on? What would such a statement by God, what would such an open statement by God be based on? Well, I believe it's evident in verse 28 that that this statement is based upon faith. It's faith. Great is thy faith. I'll read another passage to you. You don't have to turn. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all these things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now generally, when you have a Greek word that is referencing faith, and it's a verb, most time in the New Testament it's going to be translated not faith, but that would be of a noun, but it would be of believing or trusting. So, what ye shall ask in prayer, believing or according to faith, ye shall receive. That's a pretty open statement there, again, that we find in the Bible. Turn with me to John 16, and here's another one. John 16, verse 23 and 24. I'm preaching this, you could say, for a couple of reasons. One, it's just a duty that I have. We have to preach the whole counsel of God's Word. But also, if we all happen to be in the judgment line together, and we start hearing some questions and answers, I don't want you to turn around to me and say, why didn't you teach us that? Why didn't you make us think of that? And that's why I use this illustration. What if, when we get to heaven, God says, I could have given you so much more. You say, well, I thought things were just the way they were, and I didn't know that once you received your salvation and you were obedient to a certain degree, that there's anything left to be had. Well, John 16, verse 23 and 24 says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now you know that preachers have a field day with this, because most preach wealth and prosperity messages, and that's what they build their congregation on. And it's a pep rally of sorts, and filling the building fund and the savings and the checking account in churches, that's the and the pastor salary. That's really a motivator to preach something like this: ask and ye shall receive. But let's not be foolish. It's not the money that you're going to be able to take to the Lord and say, look at how much I saved. That's not even going to be a part of the conversation. That might be, what did you do with it? How what kind of a steward were you with it, what I blessed you with? That might be in the judgment. But it's not going to have anything to do with silly stuff that men make of these sort of passages. There's things that we can receive that are eternal, not temporal. Things that we can receive that are eternal. I'm going to look at two specifics in this message. We're going to look at God as He has issued such an open statement. We're going to look at His capability of issuing this statement. Is He capable of offering such a statement? Be it unto thee even as thou wilt to that woman. Or, Jesus answered and said, whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Or, in that day ye shall ask me nothing, but I say unto you, whosoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Is he capable of offering such an open-ended statement? And second, which is equally as important, is he willing? Is he truly willing? Or are we missing something here? And this is for another people, another time, that has nothing to do with us. Now, you know, we can't draw that conclusion because we believe the purpose of the New Testament is a binding contract that is made between the believer and God, and is founded upon or is bound by the blood of Christ. And that's why, for example, in the Lord's Supper, we take the bread that represents the body of Christ, the fruit of the vine, the grape juice that represents the pure blood of Christ. And that is symbolism showing how that God has ratified with us such a contract, an agreement between Him and us. And we're able to commune, we're able to fellowship, we're able to have a relationship with Him based upon the principles of the New Testament. Well, that's what we also include when we search these scriptures, is that these scriptures, as open-ended as they may be, are in this agreement. And if it is based or principled upon faith, then the only thing that may be lacking for us to claim these statements, these promises, would be not God and God's behalf, but faith on our behalf. But let's look at two things. Is God capable of offering such statements? Well, the capability of doing this is going to have to be based upon the depth of God's riches and grace. It could be, I'm not going to do this, but let's just say we all went out here to down the street to one of the car places, and I said, pick one out. Whichever one you want. I'll take care of the bill. And I'm not going to do that. Don't be trying to hold me to that. Because there's a reason for that. I don't have the capability of paying it back. I mean, I would be working the rest of my lifetime and the lifetime after that to try to pay for all of those. Because there's no capability there. But look at the question and look at the capability God has in offering such a statement. It's going to have to mean God is deeply rich and gracious. And do we have Scripture to find that God has this capability? Philippians chapter 4. We'll read one verse, Philippians 4. And also, we'll read Romans chapter 11 in just a moment. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And we could read several verses, but I think one verse will, and even partial verses on some of these, will be more than sufficient to prove whether or not God is in fact capable, meaning He has necessary riches and grace to offer such a statement. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His capability, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what we were looking for. You ever signed a contract before? You've got something you're going to purchase. I mean, now you sign agreements. If you're going to, you know, buy a phone, a service for the phone, for some network, we are always signing more and more contracts. But what if something happens? I had a stuck a rock about that big in my back tire the other day. It was towards the end of the day. It was getting dark. And I was in Bergen. There ain't nothing in Bergen. And past 5 o'clock that's open. And I'm thinking, now what am I going to do? So I'll get it worked out. The next day, I make a call to the place that I bought these tires from. And I said, I'm sure you have it on record. I bought from you before. We told them who it was. And they looked it up on the computer. Yes, we see your purchase here. Do I have a road hazard warranty of any sort? Because I'm balancing, do I go buy a used tire for $30, or do I go spend whatever I need to on a new one, or do I have some sort of a insurance in the or guarantee or warranty in the contract? And I don't, you know, there's some contracts I'll keep in the file cabinet, but this is not one of them that I generally keep. And so I asked him, and he said, there's nothing in here where you purchased a road hazard warranty. I said, fair enough. That's all I need to know. I want to know what the agreement was. And taking his word for it, that there wasn't any. I didn't really think there was, but it was worth a phone call. I want to check the details of the contract. Listen, you're going to get judged. Christ is going to judge you. You want to check the details of the contract before you face Him. You don't want Him to say something and say, and I know you're not going to do this, but just bear with me. Let me give you this thought. What are you going to do if God informs you something that you didn't know, something you're supposed to do that you're not doing or didn't do, because by then it's too late to go back and fix it? He's going to have the Word of God in front of him. Let me see the contract in here. And you've done this on another contract that you've had before. You're going to flip through and you go, I thought it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse, and you're going to go and you're going to read it and you're going to find out he's right. Well, that's kind of a silly explanation or a example there, but it's not too far off a reality. if you think something is due you, if you think you're upholding your end, you're going to go back and you're going to check the details of the agreement. This is not something so unusual. Now, people don't think of spiritual life like that. People don't think of their own life and the way they live like that. How do people live? Most folks, day by day, they make the best decision they can, and there's no guidance, not much guidance, we'll say. Sometimes they'll ask others about their opinion on this or that, and sometimes that's good. It kind of depends on who you ask, of course. I mean, you're not going to go to a two-year-old and ask the two-year-old, should you purchase a brand new vehicle? I'm sure the two-year-old would be all for it. The two-year-old's not going to pay for it. That's silly, right? You don't do that. Beverly and I didn't ask the kids a lot of things. We just made the decision and walked on with it. And good or bad, right or wrong, we had to deal with what our decisions were. Do you think when we get to judgment that we're going to be of the same frame of mind? God has given us agreement here, and He's going to judge us by this agreement. And if we have any questions to our fulfilling our end, our obligations, we're going to have to go back and look at this agreement again and again and again. And I'm just trying to show you there's an awful large statement here given by the Lord. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Now, I don't know what all Christ was thinking when He said that, but if you read it, it tends to lead you to think that when He told this woman, be it unto thee even as thou wilt, it was almost as if He was saying, okay, whatever you've asked for, I'll give you. But I could have given you a little more. Or I could have given you a lot more. He could have done more for her daughter other than just fulfill the request that was just bearing on her mind. Now, whether that's true or not, I wouldn't be dogmatic on it. But as you read it, I kind of get that sense that that might have been something there that He was considering. Great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. But even if He wasn't, He said, whatever you want. And we know what happened in the healing of the daughter. This is how it works. My God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Romans 11:13. Let's examine the riches or the wealth. Is there something in the agreement that gives us some indication just how rich you are? Now, there's rich. I think you'll all understand this. And then there's stinking rich. I mean, there's so much rich that you don't even understand rich. There's rich of a person having this and that and no debt and money in the bank and comfortable. And that's, in today's society, compared with the rest of this world, that's an unusual wealth there. But then there's those that are just, you can't understand how someone can possess billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. I'm not saying it's to be admired or not. I'm just saying it's hard to understand that type of wealth. Well, that's what we want to do in respect to the capability of God offering such a statement. We found out that He shall supply all our needs according to His riches, but in our mind, do we suppress what He can give us because we think that He's just so rich? He is a millionaire, not a billionaire, just to put it in simple terms. Well, if I knew He was a billionaire, then I would have asked Him for much more. You see, well, let's look at Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways are past finding out. I'm going to read you a statement from the Baptist Expository Commentary, and that is this pertaining to the depths of riches. This grace, and this is in reference to, again, the depth of the riches, of the grace that God has, that He has, that He possesses. This grace, the apostle extends to his audience, is not meant to be just a nicety. This is by which all the kingdom is formed and sustained. This is God's grace, and it is a sea of grace. We use the illustration sea of grace because not only of its depth, but also of its mysteries. Some folks have an inkling of the depths of the Holy Scriptures, but that is all they have, unfortunately for them. But there is more, much more. It is the deepest sea. Much of its mysteries have yet to reach the ears of many of the listeners, which want to be more than listeners. For those that do not want to be hearers only, please follow the study through this great sea, or this deep sea of grace. If we begin to study just how rich, or the depth of the riches are, Romans 11, and in other places in the Bible, like Ephesians chapter 1, that go in detail on this wealth of God, we find that it is so deep. There are some things that listeners today have not even heard about. There's so much wealth that it's not understood by the common listener. So do we believe that God is capable of offering such a statement? Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Well, as far as capability-wise, the Scriptures do support that. Now let's look at willful-wise. Turn to Matthew 15:28 again. It is the Lord's will in offering such an open statement to us because of just the fact He has given it in His public ministry. He has given this statement to a woman that is a possessor of faith, of great faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. He takes in consideration her what? Her will. Now this is we're going to step a little deeper now in examining the will of the Lord in respect to offering this statement. But let's just notice what's first. The first thing is that Jesus appreciates and respects and understands what her will is. The greater faith we have, the more our will is going to reflect the will of God. By saying to her, "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt," shows that she is doing nothing more than reflecting His will. Now, you know what He's also said to His disciples on occasion. O ye of little faith. And they didn't necessarily get what they want. Because sometimes disciples, you and me, we ask amiss. The woman showed something that most don't. And that is, in reading this correspondence between her and Christ, the woman showed an immediate response to Christ. When He said something, she had an immediate response to it. An immediate response tends to show greater faith. What if somebody says to you, "If you do this, I'll give you," and it's an extraordinary amount of something. They'll give you a lot of money if you just do this to a single task. Why would you hesitate? Well, the only sensible reason that you would hesitate would be, are they capable and are they truly willing to give us or to give me that much for this particular task or work? And a slow response is going to indicate what? The lack of faith in the statement and the one behind the statement. An immediate response would tend to show a greater faith or belief that the one offering, whatever it is, the huge reward for the task, that they're more capable and that they're truly willing. This is not a deep philosophical discussion or situation that we've got here. It's just, it makes us think, why would we hesitate in response to something that we're offered by God unless our faith is small and we question either His capability or His willingness? Now, I tell you, I try to do this in a more respectful way, but I'm going to tell you basically what I think sometimes. And that's this. I find certain situations that arise, and I'm thinking to the Lord and often praying to Him, I am anxious. Maybe not the best word to use. But I am. You have my attention. I can't wait to see how this is going to work out. Because in my mind, logically, I don't see it working out. But I know in my mind that He has the ability to work it out. And I can give you example after example after example where I would not logically have been able to figure out how things get done the way they get done. Well, she had an immediate response to Christ, and that immediate response tends to show that great faith that she obviously possessed. Christ also, how can this be, this open-ended statement? Christ said, as thou wilt. The word wilt in the original means desire or to seize with the mind. In other words, what he's saying is, if you've got your mind set on this, so be it. Whatever you want. If this is what you've determined that you want, okay, I'll give it to you. It's not that difficult, but what a difference between knowing that and practicing that. Now, there's something else here too that comes into play, and that is, after the hard struggle, this woman struggled over the condition of her daughter. She struggled with it. She not only struggled with it, when she was away from Christ, you can see the weight of this when she's having a conversation with Christ about it. So there's a hard struggle here. And so much more is given after a hard struggle. Well, what does that mean to me and you? Well, it may mean this. You may think when you run into a roadblock or you run into a situation and you want some relief from it, you may think, I think, we all think, this is a message where we are talking about us. We think that maybe God can fix this right now. When in fact, His will is, I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you the relief that you need. I'm going to give you the possession that you desire. I'm going to give it to you because I said I would. But you're going to struggle a little bit. You're going to appreciate it. It's kind of like when the boys, we raised them. I mean, it was highly unusual that we'd walk into Walmart and say, you know, pick out what you want. Now that you're grandparents, you can do that. I mean, there's no, you know, pick out what you want. Don't matter. Do I do anything for it? Give me a hug. That's about it. Oh, no, not with raising three boys. After you do this, and whatever else I can think of between now and then we might get you a bowl of soup or something. I don't know, whatever we had to offer them. You know, it was up to our discretion. They had to work for it because you have to instill those principles. You don't want them, you know, laying around the house all the time. And we made them work. there had to be a hard struggle there to appreciate the reward that they would get. So along with, and you'll notice if you read this whole passage dealing with this situation, along with, in the verses prior to verse 28, along with "Lord, help me," is "as thou wilt." Lord, help me. There's a hard struggle. This gives us insight as to the gifts of God, because there was a huge struggle, enough for her to utter, "Lord, help me." And his response was, "Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt." And there's one last thing, and that is, she waited. She didn't come up to Christ and say, "My daughter's really sick, heal her." And he don't respond. You read it. You'll get the gist of what I'm talking about. And she goes, and then just walks off. No possibility of having what she wanted accomplished, if that's the way she was. All of our boys, when they were growing up, they're very athletic, and they had all achieved things that they set out to do and all of that. And we were hard on them, or I was hard on them. Beverly wasn't so hard on this respect. She was like, "Are you a little bit too hard? If you want to be something, you're going to have to." I would have them once come out. I remember this, and they'll recall. They come out of a competition in Northern Kentucky and said, that didn't work out right. It was early. They were young. It was early years. And I said, "That was about the worst that I have ever seen in my life. If you're not going to do any better than that, stop. Don't waste your time and my time." And from that point on, what they were able to achieve as kids was unbelievable. You've got, I think, to teach the fact, and this I believe is what Christ is teaching us in his own way, is that you've got to come to a point to see this is a strength. If you're going to wait for the Lord to bless you, if you're going to work while you're waiting for the Lord to bless you, there is an importance to waiting around. They could have taken what I said and said, "Well, we're done. I don't want to do it anymore." And, you know, that would have been fine also, because it has saved a lot of time and a lot of money. But no, there was dedication, more dedication from that point on. And what we find here is that this lady was blessed because she waited around. It wasn't, "Well, if you don't give me what I want now when I'm asking you," I mean, can you imagine having one of your children come up to you and say, "Daddy, will you give me a quarter? I want a thing in the gumball machine." And you go, "Just a second." And they just throw their hands up and then just storm off. "Oh, I don't know what I'd have done. That would have threw me into a tizzy. I don't know what I'd have done to the kids if they'd done that." I know one thing. They wouldn't have got the gumball. That's to say the least. She waited around until the Lord blessed her. That's not a small, insignificant detail where Christ utters, "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And there's a final thought on all of this. When you look at the lady here, this woman, and you look at her daughter, which one, even though the lady is going through some problems, which one is the primary character here? The daughter is the one that's vexed with the devil. She's the one that's in trouble. Sometimes it may not be you or me. In this case, the daughter. It may not be the daughter. It may be the faith of someone else. In this case, the mother, that has a tremendous effect on you. We don't want to say that the only way God will bless me and can bless me is just based upon me alone. Now that's significant too. You need to do your part in the sense of you need to have built and exercised a great faith. You need to have acquired a great faith. But sometimes you may be blessed because of someone else's faith. That also weighs in here. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. I feel that sometimes the Lord gives me what I want, not because I ask God, not because I go to Him in prayer and petition Him and ask Him, I want this, I need this. Sometimes I get the feeling that I receive it because Beverly's prayed for it and she wants it. Now that puts you in your place. When it could, if you just entertain the idea that it could be someone else standing in your place for you, as this woman was of her daughter, asking the Lord that created the world, heal my daughter. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole.